Support for GLT's Grow comes from Wendell Niepegan Greenhouses, a huge selection of plants, gardening tools, and lawn and garden advice at Wendell Niepegan's on Fox Creek Road in Bloomington, where you're more than a customer, you're a friend. Details at niepegans.com. This is GLT.
A rose by any other name would smell as sweet. And that's thanks to the work of the geniuses of rose culture. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences. It is Patrick Murphy. Hello there, Murph.
Laura, how are you?
Terrific. Today on GLT's Grow, Murph is talking about rose culture. What is rose culture?
Rose culture is the science of growing and understanding roses. And there are some schools out west that offer vocational degrees in just rose culture.
Really?
As well as viticulture, which is the production and growth of grapes for wine. And I think that that's interesting. And rose is the most popular slash recognized flower of all time.
Really?
Of all time.
Of all time. I mean, even more than dandelions.
Even more. Even more. They might have existed before. I'm not sure about that. But I am sure that if we asked Grow Corporate to play Grateful Dead background music, it would probably not fly. But I thought that was an interesting thing to bring up because we talk and don't play music, for one.
Mm-hmm.
And the Grateful Dead is one of many organizations that's used the rose as a symbol.
Yes.
In their case, it's charming, but it's the incorrect symbol because they are the dead.
Yes.
Which would be a dead rose or a black rose. Right? So we can talk more about that, but I think it's neat that this flower that we all know what it looks like, if, whether you have any background in botany, horticulture, whatever, we all know what a rose looks like.
Exactly.
And we all know that there's a time for a rose, and that's right around the corner. That's Valentine's Day,
mm-hmm.
You know? So of all the roses, we know that they share a family with lots of other plants that we love. They're from the same family that spireas and hydrangeas and even ash trees are from.
Really?
That's right. So that, I think that's interesting because it just goes to show you how we can love one person in the family and we love all the rest with them. So we've got our shrub roses. Those are the most disease resistant and carefree.
Mm-hmm.
And they're somewhat new.
Are we talking about like knockout roses?
That's a shrub rose. That's
okay.
Right. That's right. Architect's rose, nearly wild. Those are all shrub roses. They can be purchased with greatest levels of disease resistance, and that's really important in rose culture because they are disease susceptible. The other side of the coin are the hybrid teas. They're the most finicky of all the roses, and that's what we might see at Grow Corporate's house, you
mm-hmm.
know. People that have lots of time and great conditions to work on roses, they would have hybrid tea roses. They would be something you would find in the formal gardens of Europe.
Oh, I see.
Where they landed after coming from China some 5,000 years ago.
Wait a minute. Roses came from China?
I know. What didn't come from China? Plant-wise, you know,
we
talked about so many different kinds of plants here on Grow, and this is another one that marched its way west. Climbers are another popular kind of rose.
What's your favorite climber?
I don't really have a favorite climbing rose,
you're not
Laura.
You're not going to play favorites then.
My favorite rose is a wild type of Floribunda type rose. It's Rosa rugosa.
Oh, I like that name.
And if you're familiar with Museum Park in Chicago and South Lakeshore Drive, starting around Roosevelt
mm-hmm.
Avenue,
yeah.
They have gorgeous Parkway Boulevard planters filled with Rosa rugosa. You cannot see through them sometimes to the other lane of traffic going the other way at
wow.
break speed.
That must be a very hardy variety.
That's right, yeah.
To put up with all that Chicago traffic.
It's got lakefront conditions plus the loads of salt that end up in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're reliable. And when there are no flowers, they're still beautiful because they have a big, huge red-orange heap. That's what
heap?
A heap is what a hip. It's spelled H-I-P, but it's pronounced heap, like a
oh,
heap of garbage.
I gotcha.
And they're ornamental many times. And it's what perfume and makeups and other fine European toiletries have been created from.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, we're getting you in the mood for Valentine's Day by talking about roses. And I've always had some trouble growing roses, Murph. Any tips for success that you can share would be much appreciated.
We will talk about some of the basics on roses, but I want to finish telling everybody about the groups of roses. So we left off, we were talking about the kind of the wild ones.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned the Rosa rugosa, But we also have miniature roses that have actual miniature flowers, or the plant itself is miniaturized. It's not a maymay like a teeny tiny Asian type plant that grows in a thimble, but it's a rose that would grow like in a small pot on your kitchen windowsill on a sunny window or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The last one are the grandifloras. And of all of them, the one that I mentioned first is the easiest one to deal with, and those are the shrub roses. But whether it's a shrub rose or the finicky hybrid teas, I got some basics for everyone to think about when they want to add roses to their garden, Laura.
Okay.
6+ hours of direct sunlight, minimum. These are sun-loving plants.
So put them on the south or the west side.
Yes, that's right. And away from the shade patterns of trees and structures that could interfere with that straight 6 hours. The more sun, the better for the roses. A little bit of shade can get you in trouble with foliar diseases and other pests that roses are also famous for. We want to plant our roses between April 15th and May 15th. That's typically the best.
Okay.
So I'm not saying that if a landscaping company's working at your house and they plant them after that, that it's wrong. It's just they require more care and attention if they're planted outside of this best window.
Okay.
And then our initial plantings, we want a good 2 feet of well-drained, rich soil. They use the term loamy a lot. So that's what we're looking for. Well-drained means that it has also some good drainage as far as a slope, right? You couldn't plant roses at the bottom where water is trapped after it drains. You'd want to plant those roses on the high slopes of some kind of spot like that.
Okay.
Fertilizing roses is tricky, but once per month is recommended up until August, and then all of that fertilizer can get used up so that the plant can slide into its dormancy.
Okay.
Right? And then here's the part that's the hardest. It's the wintering of roses.
Yes.
So if you go with a shrub rose, or you've done your homework and you've picked a hardy rose, 100% hardy, none of these little chores are going to matter to you. You can treat the rose just like any other shrub in your landscape and admire it covered with snow.
Uh-huh.
And admire it when the stems fill full of water before the buds bust, and that's coming up here in March pretty soon.
Yes.
You can do two things to protect your roses for the winter, tipping or mounding. Tipping is where you kind of dig a little trench, loosen the soil around the roots of the rose, gather the branches up with some twine, lay the whole thing down in a trench and cover it up with some soil and leaves and mulch, and then put some kind of structure like wire or something around it so the leaves don't blow all your protection away.
Okay.
Mounding is similar, except for you leave the plant standing up, planted in the ground. Either case, tipping or mounding, you want to get out and clean that stuff away from the ground, away from your roots in March. March 15th
okay.
is a good time for that.
Good tips.
And I also thought it was interesting, too. You know, we mentioned that China is mm-hmm. the place of origin for the roses.
Right.
Rose water, you know, much like we've talked about tulip bulbs and stuff, at the time that the roses were making their migration, if you will, rose water was so valuable it was legal tender, much
really?
Like tulip bulbs and other unusual things.
Wow.
There's a fellow named Radu. And a lot of people in horticulture and botany know about this fellow because he was an artist that made botanical illustrations. His rose illustrations came from Josephine's garden.
Josephine?
Yeah, Napoleon's wife.
Oh!
Hey, I know, isn't that something? So such an evil fellow's wife had such a wonderful treasure. Thank you, Josephine, for growing all those wonderful roses.
Absolutely, and inspiring, a great illustrator. Thank you so much, Murph, for that.
My
you
pleasure.
Know, getting us in the mood for roses for Valentine's Day. Next week, Murph reveals the artistic side of logs. Yes. If you've got a gardening question or problem you'd like Murph to tackle, go to our website, wglt.org/grow, fill in the form, and send it along to us. Maybe Murph will pick your question to answer on the air. Submit those questions at wglt.org/grow.